You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into Outkick the Show. Are we ready? Are we off and running? Is the show going? Thank you for hanging out with us. It's the Monday edition of the program. I appreciate all of you. We got NCAA tournament drama to dive into. Sweet 16, John Calipari, Kentucky, my thoughts on that. As well as Auburn going down to Yale, the game that I was most wrong about of all of them, although those were the two biggest upsets. All-time ratings highs being set. Trump, couple of big wins out there in the larger community of his legal process, which is you basically need a law degree to keep up with all of the things that are going on right now. But right off the top, I want to tell you Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, over 3 million members out there. And unlike other apps, you're competing not against the sort of individuals in a big contest, just you against the numbers. No sharks, no competitive leagues either. Win or you lose. We hit 3 out of 4 on our pick Friday. Made a poor decision. I'm going to be honest with you, be frank. I had Johnny Broome written down as my pick for Auburn. Instead, I changed it at the last minute. If we had hit on that, we would have gone 4 for 4, paid off at 10 to 1. But many of you hit on 2.5 to 1 in that neighborhood because 3 out of 4 of our picks hit. You can win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. It's tournament season right now. I'm going to give you on Thursday and Friday Prize Picks picks for each of those nights. But Major League Baseball officially underway. We're going to talk a little bit about Ohtani in a moment and some of the challenges for the Dodgers out there. I believe the Braves, my boys are big Braves fans, start on Wednesday. The great thing about Major League Baseball being underway, always games. Prize Picks has something for all of you, whatever the sport you love. Maybe you love women's basketball. Maybe you love hockey. Maybe you love League of Legends. Everything out there, you can make a choice. I love it. You're going to love it as well. Go to prizepicks.com. Use my name, Clay, or the code OUTKICK to get hooked up. That is $100, up to $100 free if you go and use my name, Clay, and or OUTKICK. Get hooked up today. Go download the Prize Picks app. I will give you picks on Thursday and Friday. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. prizepicks.com, code OUTKICK. Must be present in certain states and Canadian provinces. Void where prohibited. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, NCAA tournament ratings, according to CBS Sports and Turner, have hit all-time highs. This is interesting to me because you may remember coming into the NCAA tournament, there was a media narrative which was being widely shared. I read from the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times. They said women's basketball, college basketball, has now eclipsed men's basketball. It's more popular. It has better storylines. Everybody cares. No, no, no. More people watched the first 3 days of the NCAA tournament than have ever watched the NCAA tournament in the history of its existence. Men's college basketball is in a very good place when it comes to the NCAA tournament. Never been more popular. This has been the case for the last few years. It's been growing. NBA collapsing. NBA finals setting all-time record lows. I will be fair, women's college basketball has been doing well too. people like the sport of basketball. They don't like woke basketball. And so the NCAA tournament, best and most watched NCAA tournament ratings ever. And now they are set in a big way with Sweet 16 matchups featuring most of the biggest and best brands in basketball. So the ratings for the Sweet 16 are going to be through the roof. Some people are complaining, oh, there's no Cinderella. There's no team out there that has really kind of captured the hearts and minds of Americans. Even the teams that are lower seeds and have advanced, like NC State, tend to be decent-sized programs that everybody is familiar with. That's what people actually want. I'm a big believer. I've had success at OutKick because I look at the data, and whatever people like, I give them more of that. It's not some revolutionary idea. Look at the data. People tell you with their eyes, their clicks, with their decisions, what they like. Figure out what that is and give them more of that. It's not a complicated business plan. It's why OutKick is dominating. People like, no great craziness here, people like the NCAA tournament. And every year they're liking the NCAA tournament a little bit more. They hate woke sports. They reject it. OutKick is dominating as a result. People like big brands. A lot of people out there argue, oh, there's no Cinderella. It's not a good tournament. No, the data reflects that people want to watch Duke. They want to watch Kansas. Sorry, you're eliminated. They want to watch Kentucky. Sorry, you're eliminated. They want to watch the big brands, the best teams, go head-to-head. And so if you look ahead right now, let's talk about where we're going. We'll be doing a gambling preview. Gambling picks have not gone great. I'm not going to lie. People like Arizona. They know UConn. They like UNC, Illinois. Those are teams that people are going to tune in for. Gonzaga. You know, it's a crazy stat. I believe Gonzaga has been to 9 straight Sweet 16s. Kind of unbelievable. Purdue, Duke, Houston, Creighton, Tennessee. A lot of big brands. Every 1 seed still alive. Every 2 seed still alive. A lot of 3s, a lot of 4s as we go along. Again, no true Cinderella team. So let me dive into this here a little bit. Kentucky was the biggest loser on Thursday. I didn't do shows Thursday and Friday because this show comes on right around 3 Eastern, and I knew all of you were going to be watching games. And so I didn't do live shows on Thursday, Friday. I never do because I don't want to try to compete with the actual games because I want to watch them too. I don't want to spend 30 minutes talking to you guys when I would rather just be plopped down in front of the couch waiting to see how the games are going to come out. So Kentucky loses. Couple of crazy stats. John Calipari has won 1 NCAA tournament in the tournament game in the past 5 years. Think about how wild that is. If you are a kid who entered the University of Kentucky in 2019 and you are now working on graduating in 5 years, you took the 5-year route instead of the 4-year route, you've seen 1 NCAA tournament win in that entire time. You haven't seen Kentucky in the Sweet 16, to say nothing of a Final Four run or an Elite Eight run. It's pretty extraordinary how much Kentucky is paying John Calipari for him to fail on a massive scale. So what should they do? To me, it's time for Kentucky to move on from John Calipari. Reports are out there that they would have to pay him $33 million. Basically, they gave him a lifetime contract that I believe runs through 2029. That is a crazy dollar figure to have to pay somebody in college basketball. And some people say, well, Texas A&M paid Jimbo Fisher $76 million not to coach. Why wouldn't football is a way bigger enterprise than basketball is. That's just the reality. Even at a place like Kentucky, the Kentucky football program brings in way more money than basketball does. I don't believe there is any Power 5 conference team in America that makes more money on men's college basketball than they do on football. So even at a place like Kentucky, which is wild and crazy and loves college basketball, there are 3 states in my mind that love college basketball more than they like football. Only 3. Indiana, North Carolina, and Kentucky. The other 47 states like football more. Those three states, I would say, basketball is more popular than football. And you can make an argument that even that's wrong, right? The Indianapolis Colts are hugely popular in Indiana. Kentucky, there's lots of Cincinnati Bengals fans. There's lots of Tennessee Titans fans, you poor bastards. Lots of NFL fans in the state of Kentucky, to say nothing of college football, where Louisville and Kentucky both have substantial fan bases for college football as well as college basketball. And in North Carolina now, Carolina Panthers, I'm sorry if you're a Carolina Panthers fan, it's been rough for you lately. But UNC, NC State, a lot of fan base for, in the state of North Carolina, the NFL and college football too. But in general, I'll give those three states as basketball hotbeds where there's an argument basketball is more popular than football. Even in those states, you can't pay basketball coaches substantially more than football coaches purely from a business perspective. So $33 million in college basketball, even if you consider the size of the Kentucky basketball program, is, I think, more substantial as a portion of revenue that you're going to have to pay out than what Texas A&M is paying Jimbo Fisher. And by the way, Texas A&M, way richer than Kentucky, way richer boosters. A&M, I would tell you, if you want to see the most incredible high-end football seats in America, Texas A&M's booster section, you feel like you're walking into the Wynn or Caesar's Palace or the Bellagio, the high roller area in Las Vegas, when you walk into Kyle Field, which has been newly retrofitted and is fabulous. I don't think there's a better view to watch a football game than from the owner suites, the exclusive high-end suites, donor suites, however you want to classify them, in Aggieland. Those things are incredible. I mean, it's so incredible that if you were at A&M, taking a tour of the stadium to see the suites is worth doing if they offered that, because of how phenomenal they are. They've got money the likes of which Kentucky, frankly, no one has. $33 million, a lot of money, difficult to justify based on the revenue. Mitch Barnhart, that is a disaster contract that he gave John Calipari, but I think Kentucky has to pay him to go. The lack of success, the fan base is over him, the fact that John Calipari's one-and-done strategy, even as incredibly talented as they are, they didn't show up. Gave up 10 threes to Grolke. Reed Sheppard played one of the worst games for a high-end pick, theoretically, that I have seen in some time. He was just a non-factor. Looked utterly confused. 2 years ago, Kentucky lost to St. Peter's. Now they have lost to Oakland. Credit Oakland University for pulling off a huge win. The Golden Grizzlies in Southeast Michigan. I know NC State got them in the next game in overtime, but that was an incredible win for their program that Oakland people will remember forever. But I think it was also the death knell in John Calipari's coffin as the head coach of the University of Kentucky. And I think Kentucky has to move on. The other big upset, I would say, of the first round, and I got this one 100% wrong. I have not bet favorites enough, but I bet on Kentucky and I bet on Auburn, and both of them went down. The Auburn loss to Yale is more stunning to me than the Kentucky loss to Oakland, because I think Yale is a much worse team than Oakland was. And you saw Yale get utterly exposed by San Diego State last night. To me, this is a really tough loss for Auburn. I think it's more difficult to even understand than what happened to Kentucky against Oakland. Auburn had no business losing that game. Now, Auburn was underseeded. I like to look at the Ken Pomeroy stats. It's one of my favorite things to look at all season long in college basketball. Just go check it out and see what Ken Pomeroy thinks of the overall landscape of college basketball. To put into perspective how generally accurate his rankings are, the top 14 teams that he has in his college basketball rankings, 13 of them have advanced to the Sweet 16. The only team in the top 14 to lose, Auburn. That's pretty crazy, right? Connecticut 1, Houston 2, Purdue 3, Arizona 5, Duke 6, Iowa State 7, Tennessee 8, North Carolina, Illinois, Creighton, Gonzaga, Marquette, Alabama. All of them have advanced to the Sweet 16. And the teams that also have advanced, again, every team in the top 14 in Ken Pomeroy's rankings, but Auburn, who finished 4th. I think Auburn was underseeded. They played awfully. I bet Bruce Pearl would say that's probably the worst game defensively they played all year. Then you've got Baylor and Michigan State, who lost. San Diego State is in the Sweet 16. They're Ken Pomeroy's 17 team. Clemson is 23rd. They beat Baylor. Small upset, relatively speaking. And then NC State is all the way down at 53. So into the Sweet 16, you have 15 of the top 23 teams in college basketball. And the only real Cinderella was NC State, which got an 11 seed. That's the only other team out there that really stands out. So this has been one of the most chalk brackets of all time. I'll give you my picks on Wednesday for the Sweet 16. I went and watched the Tennessee game against Texas. Some of you may follow me on social media. I lost my mind. Crazy stat for you in the Tennessee game. So Rick Barnes in March, Tennessee advances to the Sweet 16. But I saw this stat. And I wanted to make sure that I shared it. Tennessee is, this is from Stats Sack. Tennessee is the first team to ever win an NCAA tournament team while shooting less than 15% from three and less than 35% overall from the field. In tourney history, teams that shot this poorly were 0-66 before the Tennessee game. They are now 1-66. So Tennessee winning this game is a credit to the defense, but when Tennessee was sitting at 1-21 from three, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. A lot of these attempts were wide open. They finished 3-25, but I didn't even think they took that many bad shots in the game. For it to have ended up in that situation is pretty crazy that that was the way all of this ended up going. So that's my take on the Sweet 16. We'll give you picks on Wednesday. I'll give you prize picks that is individual players, on Thursday and Friday. But the NCAA tournament, all-time ratings high. The women's NCAA tournament, as I told you, is not remotely close to the men's NCAA tournament in interest. And honestly, it's not even setting all-time highs. And that's because I grew up, women's NCAA tournament basketball actually peaked from a ratings perspective. I think the data would reflect when UConn and Tennessee were going head-to-head all the time. When you had Gino Auriemma going up against Pat Summitt, those were great rivalry situations. Pat Summitt, Gino Auriemma, really, really big name stars. And I'll probably talk tomorrow some about the Kim Mulkey situation in LSU. I think there are a lot of women's basketball stars and people that are getting attention. But I don't think it's that much different than the era in which the women's game with UConn and Tennessee got a great deal of attention back in the day. And certainly, I mean, living in Tennessee, the women's basketball program is far more significantly accomplished than the men's basketball team historically. And Pat Summitt is probably the most accomplished women's basketball coach, I think, of all time, particularly if you factor in the unfortunate reality that Pat Summitt got Alzheimer's and retired while she, I think she was still in her 50s. So Pat Summitt, if she were still coaching, still alive and healthy, could have certainly gone into her 70s, and she would have set records that would never be touched for the history of college basketball, men's or women's, forever. Because she started as a head coach at like 22 or 23 years old of the Lady Vols and built an absolute juggernaut. and they haven't been able to find anybody to replace her. It's not that much different than Bear Bryant or what I think is going to happen with Nick Saban, where you have an iconic figure who wins at a level nobody else could ever hope to accomplish. And I think she would have set records the likes of which we would never see. Now, I talked about Shohei Ohtani on Twitter and on Fox News. This story to me is, and he's going to issue a statement. Guys, let me know what time that statement is scheduled. I don't think it's supposed to be till later this afternoon. So let's make sure we clip and share this opinion before there's more data out there, because I don't want to share a Shohei Ohtani take when there's more information coming. But based on everything that is out there publicly, that is at 3:24 Eastern time in the country as I am talking to you right now, I think this is a huge issue. And let me explain three reasons why I think this is a big deal. One, I don't believe that Shohei Ohtani's translator could have bet $4.5 million of Shohei Ohtani's money and he wouldn't have noticed. And remember, this is a reported $4.5 million in losses. Sometimes they would have won. This means that they were betting, Shohei Ohtani's translator was, millions and millions of dollars on a regular basis. Remember, if you lose four and a half, you probably win 40% of the time, right? Even the worst gambler in the world, and some of you would say that is me, is going to win 35 or 40% of the time. So that is the reality. So if you lost four and a half, you're regularly betting tens of millions of dollars probably, okay? So I don't think that Shohei Ohtani's translator could have bet that standard of money. Second part here, and this is the press conference goes live in about an hour, okay? And I think he's just reading a statement. Word is he's not going to actually take questions, just FYI. Second part here. If you are betting that amount of money, the bookie definitely thought that Shohei Ohtani was the gambler. And I haven't heard an official statement from the bookie, but Shohei Ohtani's translator doesn't make enough money to lose millions of dollars. They wouldn't keep giving him credit. I could lose millions of dollars gambling now. A Vegas casino would give me, based on my assets, millions of dollars probably in credit to be able to bet and lose, because they would look at my asset statements and say, okay, Clay Travis is good for this. We can allow him to gamble X amount of dollars. They would never have allowed me to bet millions of dollars for most of my adult life because I could have never paid it off. The bookie wouldn't have allowed a deficit of $4.5 million unless he thought Shohei Ohtani was actually the guy placing the bets. Shohei Ohtani just signed a $700 million deal. That's point two. Point three is, and this is why it could be very significant, gambling on sports is illegal in the state of California. California has not passed, as most states have, a law allowing wagers to take place legally in the state of California. Now, I know a lot of gambling still goes on in the state of California. I'm not naive. But that means that there is potentially a significant legal peril related to illegal gambling in the state of California, where Shohei Ohtani would have primarily been based, placing these wagers with a bookie who was violating law significantly. Right now, the reports are, and I should say maybe point four, right now, the reports are that Shohei Ohtani never gambled on baseball. That he was only gambling on college football and soccer and the NFL or whatever, all these other different sports. If you were getting that big into a hole, don't you think there might have been some baseball bets that were taking place at some point in time during the course of this process? Again, I don't know how all of it is going to play out, but it doesn't add up to me right now. There are a lot of unanswered questions here, and I think you have to think about the spectrum of potential outcomes. This could be a disaster for Major League Baseball and Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers, and this could be a Pete Rose situation where there was gambling going on baseball and Shohei Ohtani was intimately involved. Best case, that's worst case scenario. Best case scenario for Shohei Ohtani right now is that he was the victim of a multi-million dollar theft by one of his best friends and his trusted advisor, a Major League Baseball team employee, I believe the translator would be, paid by the team, not by Shohei Ohtani, which is its own massive scandal, which would require, typically, Shohei Ohtani's translator to go to prison for multiple years. If you steal $4.5 million from somebody, you are committing a huge number of felonies, both under state and federal law, probably, and you would go to prison for multiple years. Is Shohei Ohtani's translator willing to go to prison for multiple years? Did he really do all of this wagering without Shohei Ohtani knowing any of it? Or is he the fall guy? And if he is the fall guy, it's one thing to take a fall if you lose a job. It's another thing to take a fall if taking that fall requires you to go to prison. So all of this is hugely messy for the LA Dodgers, for Major League Baseball, which announced, not surprisingly, on Friday that they were going to open their own inquiry in this case. I don't see an easy off-ramp from this being a massive story that is not going away anytime soon for Shohei Ohtani or for Major League Baseball. Those are my thoughts in general on that. The Trump legal situation. Trump had a $454 million bond that was going to be reportedly needed to pay today. That has been lowered to a $175 million bond in what is a huge win for Trump. Trump has answered and said he will pay that bond in cash, which is a massive hit to all the people out there who thought somehow that these cases were going to bankrupt Donald Trump. What you are seeing, though, and I think this is a really big and important lesson, it's one thing to get angry about what you see in the country. And I understand some of you out there watching me right now, I understand if you're a Trump supporter, why you can be furious at the precedent being set here that Trump is maybe going to be put in prison if he were convicted, and they're trying to bankrupt him and they're trying to ruin him because of his political beliefs. Let's not shade any of this. That's exactly what's going on. And that is wrong and is an awful precedent, and it's truly never happened before in the course of American political history, which is why everybody out there who's like, can you imagine what will happen if Trump wins? He may try to put his chief political rivals in prison, and he may use the Department of Justice as an agent to do what he believes should happen as his own kangaroo court in the country. I'm like, do you realize what's happening already, right? That's what Democrats have decided to do in Atlanta and in South Florida and in Washington, D.C. and in New York City, where there's been evidently a trial date set for April 15th in the Alvin Bragg case. That happened today, too. But I think what is maybe the most interesting story here is Trump was banned by Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, Etsy. Like, I don't even know all of the different social media platforms, but they all colluded and banned Trump from being a YouTube, being able to be on any of their platforms in the wake of January 6th. And I think that was wrong, and I think it was an awful precedent. I don't think there's enough attention being paid, though, to sometimes when you see things that you know are clearly wrong, you can be angry, but I would also encourage all of you to be open to taking business opportunities that are out there. I disagree with a lot of the identity politics and the left-wing nature of sports media in America. I could have just been angry about it. I could have railed about it some. Maybe that ends up with me being successful. Maybe it doesn't. Instead, I started OutKick. And I built a big media brand, which Fox now owns. The excesses on the left of ESPN and everybody else that I saw, basically, in sports media, created a massive business opportunity for OutKick. And we have driven right into the heart of that opportunity, and now OutKick has gotten huge. We have a massive audience across TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, online, on all YouTube platforms, like big audience watching all of our stuff every single day. Millions and millions of people. We put out the data on it. You can go check it out for yourself. Now Fox owns the company. I don't have to work anymore if I don't want to. I saw things that I disagreed with happen in sports, and I started a business. And I had what was, for me, a tremendous amount of success. I'm a public school kid from Nashville. I never thought I would have $10 million in my life, and I'm a 100 millionaire now. My wife gets mad, by the way, when I say that. She's like, don't tell people all that. Like, I think it's important to share success stories because I want you to all be successful too. I want you to make a lot of money. I want you to be the agents that own your future ability to make a living. I want all of you to have a measure of success that I have and to have financial independence. I'm a huge capitalist. I want everybody, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, to be as successful as possible, men, women, gay, straight, whatever. I want all of you to be rich. Trump saw what happened to him when he got banned by all of these companies. And he had smart advisors come to him, and they said, we should start our own social media platform. And I want to hit you with this right now. Digital World Acquisition is up $13 today to over $50 a share. The stock is up nearly 37% today alone. The word is that Truth Social, is going to merge with DWAC, Digital World Acquisition, in a SPAC merger. The new stock will trade under the symbol DJN, which is Donald J. Trump, his initials. And Trump's stake in the new company, based on current prices, is going to be worth over $3 billion. Now, like any stock valuation, it can change on a day-to-day basis. But Trump's value in that company is potentially going to make him, this week, more money than he made in his entire career. And unlike real estate, where it's really uncertain what the value of a building might be, depends on what interest rates are, depends on who buyers in the market might be. All of you understand this if you own a home. You might think that your house is worth $500,000, and then you put it on the market and somebody might offer $600,000 or they might offer $400,000. There's a wide range of what a home could end up selling for. Trump now is going to have over $3 billion in liquid assets. So all the people out there who tried to argue Trump is broke, we need to cancel Trump, have actually led to Trump starting a new company and making more money potentially this week than he has made in his entire career beforehand. Now, I'm not a billionaire. I'm not close to a billionaire. I'm a 100 millionaire. People say, I saw somebody the other day, I got an email. They said, you're not worth what you claim because if you were, you would say that you're a billionaire. I was laughing kind of about that. Like, if you have $100,000, you're not almost a millionaire. You're 1/10 of the way to being a millionaire. I've got 100 million. I'm 1/10 of the way to being a billionaire. I'm not close to being a billionaire. Some people just don't understand basic math. And so Trump may not have been worth as much money total in his life as he is going to make this week. But you don't have to be Trump. You don't have to be me. You don't have to make $100 million. You don't have to make $1 billion. There may be an opportunity out there. You might be making $50,000 a year, busting your ass. Learn the business where you're working and turn it into an opportunity to make six figures. When I started OutKick in 2011, my hope was to make $100,000 a year from it. I said, if I can make $100,000 a year writing every article that I want, not having to worry about taking care of my family, if I can make $100,000 a year, I would sign up for it. I think I've said this before publicly, but if I haven't, in 2013, I probably would have signed a 10-year deal paying me $300,000 a year for the next 10 years. And in 2013, I probably would have been ecstatic to sign that deal because I would have been like, man, that's $3 million over the life of my contract. My family will be completely taken care of. I can have an incredible lifestyle in Nashville. I would have sold myself way lower than I was worth. Maybe I would have said I want 500. Maybe I would have said I want 600. I would have never even come close to what I actually made if I had been making financial decisions in the future in 2013. My point to all of you is learn business. And if you're frustrated by what you see in the marketplace, if Bud Light makes you upset because they are out there saying that trans people are heroes, or if Planet Fitness has got you upset, or Disney, or whatever company, it's one thing to be upset, and certainly you can choose to spend your money as you see fit. I encourage all of you to do that. The real way to get revenge is to create your own companies and your own ability to make money off of the failures that you see in the larger marketplace. Be an entrepreneur. Be a capitalist. Don't just get angry. Do what Donald Trump did. Do what I did on a much smaller scale. Find an opportunity to create a business that you own equity in and build something new and make yourself fabulously wealthy because of the nincompoops you see out there in the larger marketplace who are missing huge segments of the audience out there. That's the lesson to me of this Trump Truth Social success. Nobody's talking about it. Trump this week is potentially going to make more money from Truth Social than he would have made in his entire business career, and he's doing it because Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Etsy, YouTube, you name a social media company, they all banned him. I don't think he would have founded his own social media company and made billions of dollars but for the decision that those companies all made to ban him. Don't get mad. Don't just get mad. Anger is an emotion. It's not a plan. Put in place a plan. I always say this. Anger is an emotion. It's not a strategy. It's not a plan. Use your anger to fuel a plan and make yourself fabulously wealthy so that you don't have to rely on other people to make a living. That's what entrepreneurs do. That's what capitalists do. That's what people who see opportunities do. And this ties in. I saw this story. We played some clips on Clay and Buck just a little bit ago. Ronna McDaniel has now been hired at NBC to be a political analyst. And I saw where Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski are losing their minds. And Chuck Todd on Meet the Press is losing his mind. He's saying, what in the world are they doing? They're hiring Ronna McDaniel. They have to reconsider. This is an outrage. This is indefensible. They're so unhappy that Ronna McDaniel was hired by NBC to go on their political coverage and just give her opinion that they're demanding she be fired. Now, I think I can reliably say this. I don't think anybody at iHeart, I don't think anybody at Fox News, I don't think anybody at Fox Sports could disagree. I have worked and still do work at three different big media companies in my career. iHeart, Fox Sports, and Fox News. Love working at all three. Like my bosses at all three. I've got nothing negative to say about any three of those places. In my entire media career, I have never even thought to demand that someone else inside of any of those three massive companies not be able to have a job sharing their opinion on the air as they see it. Now, I've argued that new people should be hired. I certainly at OutKick have had hiring and firing authority over the years. So I've made the decision as an executive, okay, we're going to hire this guy. Okay, we're going to fire this guy. We're going to hire this girl. We're going to fire this girl. That's the job of a media executive. But inside of my big media companies where I've worked, we've got, I think, the biggest show that iHeart has, either us or Sean Hannity, biggest radio show in the country. I did daily television for Fox Sports. I've done college football for a decade plus for them. I go on, I think it's fair to say, every single Fox News show. Fox News is the biggest cable audience in the entire country. There are people at all three of those places that have very different opinions than me. I've never even thought of saying publicly that somebody should be fired at a company that I work for because I don't agree with the things that they've said. And I've never even said it privately. Yet Ronna McDaniel, who's not even that conservative, I mean, we get criticisms when we would put her on Clay and Buck. I like Ronna, but it's not like she's a far right-wing ideologue. Yet NBC News loses its mind. They hired Jen Psaki. They hired George Stephanopoulos. Like, this is not uncommon. People come right out of politics and go straight into the prognostication game. Happens all the time. Nobody complains. iHeart's the biggest audio company in the world. They have people with far left-wing opinions. They have people with far right-wing opinions. They got people with every opinion under the sun. That's what the business should do. If you're the biggest audio company in the world, your goal should be to cover every segment of the population. Give them things that they like. More power to them. iHeart employs a lot of people who have said awful things about me on their shows. I would never even think to demand that iHeart not employ somebody. That's where we are, though, in the culture. Note that on the right, I can't think of anybody who said this person shouldn't be allowed to share their opinion. Even if I disagree with it, I believe, used to be a very liberal take, the answer to speech I disagree with is more speech. So iHeart employs a ton of people who would disagree with me on every political issue under the sun. Good for them. Fox News has employed left-wing analysts. Fox Sports has all sorts of people that disagree with me on a regular basis. I would never even dream of doing what Mika and Joe and Chuck Todd all did at NBC, which is basically throw a fit because they're hiring somebody who might advocate for Donald Trump on air. That's not a sign of strength. That's a sign of weakness. The reason why Gavin Newsom got wrecked by Ron DeSantis is because the left's ideas are flabby and not defended because they have a rigged media ecosystem protecting them. The right knows what the left thinks. It's impossible not to. The left has no idea what the right thinks. And as a result, they actually are fighting against all sorts of issues that aren't true. People say, well, January 6th was the 2020 election wasn't rigged. Donald Trump lost fair and square. Okay. Every single person on the right has heard that argument ad infinitum. How many people on the left know that the Very Fine People Charlottesville hoax is 100% unreal? How many people on the left know that no police officers died on January 6th, that the only person who died that day was Ashley Babbitt? How many people on the left know that there is no evidence that masks help at all against COVID? How many people on the left knew actual data showed that kids were under virtually no risk at all from COVID, actually were under greater danger from drowning or the seasonal flu? People on the left believe a huge variety of untruths. The difference between the left and the right is people on the right believe things that may be untrue, but they hear the argument against what they believe. They don't live in the total isolationist bubble. People on the left have no idea what I think. They legitimate, like, that's why I'm characterized as a far right-wing ideologue. But I'll sit down and talk with anybody, and I think I would win every argument because I've challenged my own thinking. I think I can make left-wing arguments better than I can make right-wing arguments. By the way, I think I am the most average, sane, normal person on the planet. I don't even think I'm right-wing, far right-wing, some crazy person. I think I'm where about 75 or 80% of Americans are on almost every issue. But because I'm not far left-wing, I'm characterized as a right-wing zealot. It's crazy. But I think it's important to contemplate who actually is in favor of speech, debate, the marketplace of ideas, and if you see opportunity, seize it. It's one thing to be angry, but angry is not a strategy. Look at what Trump did with Truth Social. Look at what I did with OutKick. Look at what countless companies out there are doing. Take advantage of opportunity in the marketplace. If customers are being ignored, if they're being sidelined, if they're being disrespected, that means there's a marketplace out there. Go make it yours. Make it your success story. I'm getting older. I may not have a lot more of successes. A lot of you are much younger than me watching or listening to this right now. I want you to be the future. Create the future that you want to exist. Manifest it. Don't get just angry. Use that anger to recognize opportunity and hopefully, thanks to the miracle of America, make yourself fabulously wealthy through entrepreneurism and capitalism, which is the single greatest asset that exists in American life today. All right, I love all of you. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP. This has been OutKick, the show.